Hello, and welcome to another episode of Butterfly Evolution. We're coming to you, Tegan. I'm coming to you live for myself by way of Tennessee. Tika is not directly in. We're not in the same location tonight, so Tika is online with us. Tika, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. So we're going to host the show tonight and want to just thank everybody again for tuning in to a live episode of Butterfly Evolution. We want to just be mindful of a couple of things before we get started. Please keep in mind, if at any time for this area, my particular area, we've just been having a number of dropped calls in the area. So if you are notified that the hosts are not in queue with you, just please continue to hang on, hold on, and we will reconnect and get back on the air with you. So please just stay on with us if that does happen. We want to start by thanking our repeat listeners. Again, some of you have been with us from the start, so we thank you for that. We have a number of new people that were going to tune in tonight, so we want to thank you. Hope that you take something from this show enough to keep you coming back and put us on your schedule. For each Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, you can listen online by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/butterflyevolution. You can also listen by calling in 818-691-7406. And again, that's to listen online, it's blogtalkradio.com/butterflyevolution. Or you can call in using the number 818-691-7406. Please keep in mind, if you are listening to the show tonight online, that we do have the chat line open. So if you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to submit your question or comment by chat. So keep that in mind. You won't be able to send us anything if you're not registered as a follower. In order to do that, you must have a social network, and that's either something like Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing, in order to submit your comment or question through the chat line. So if you're on the chat line and you want to make a comment, you will need to call in, or if you have a question, you will need to call in using that number. At any time you have a comment or a question, please select the number 1, and we'll be notified that you're in queue to come on air with your question or your comment. Now, when we're bringing you through to make your comment or ask your question, what we will do is call out your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number that appears in queue for us. So, for example, if you are a 901 area code and your last 4 digits is 6088, then we'll say 901-6088, you're in queue with us. So just be mindful of that if you're selecting the number 1. And, again, you can do that at any time during the show. It does not have to be right now when we're coming on the show. You can do that at any time during the show that you decide you have a comment or you have a question. So just be mindful of that. And we do welcome all of your comments tonight online during the air. And we say that because we get a number of calls after the show, and we are excited about those calls. And it's still taking those calls after the show because that's where most of the real stuff, I think, takes place, because so many people are so free to say what they want to say or ask the questions that they want to ask. However, we do challenge you to make those comments online, on air, or ask your questions online, on the air, because that allows the other listeners to get in on this, hear your comment, and that they may take something from that or be able to add something to that. Now, with that being said, please in no way stop the after the show calls or questions. A number of you are also submitting those questions, you know, online through Facebook and so forth. So please continue to do that. Please continue to make the calls. But also, we challenge you to select the number 1 and make those comments or ask those questions online with us tonight. That being said, Tika, do you have anything before we start going through it?
No. Everything's running smoothly.
Okay. I want to start just kind of going back. We talked last week about legalistic religion. legalism, basically. And as I noted, there were not quite a few, but I think the number of interest in that show last week were kind of alarming to me in a sense, and I think it was more alarming for the responses that were received. So I think it's appropriate to just kind of go back to last week's show. If you were not able to listen in last week, please know that all of the shows are archived. I do suggest that if you did not hear that one, please go out and listen to it. Again, you're able to pull it up and listen to it at any time. You can do that online. The only way you can listen to the archive shows is by pulling them up using the blogtalkradio.com/butterflyevolution. But in talking last week, we talked about, again, legalism. And I think it's appropriate to bring that topic up because we are tonight talking about the decreasing number of the attendance of our men attending church. And I think it's good to bring that up because, number one, some people think that if you don't go to church, then you're not a Christian. So men may get caught up in that as well. That may be a form of legalism, as some men may look at it, and women, or just people in general. So we can kind of take that and bring it on into this show as we talk about why men are not going to church as much, or why the number seems to be decreasing. And Tika, if you have anything, just feel free to jump in here as we go through it. So that's kind of where I wanted to start, just talking again about the legalism playing the part of men not being the number. They say it's 61% of women are in attendance each Sunday opposed to the number of men. And that's not, we're not talking about the Sunday, the Wednesday service, the midweek services. That number is significantly lower. So we're just typically talking about, or right now for tonight, talking about the Sunday services. I did a little research just to kind of get different opinions and came across a study that I found to be really interesting because part of the study talked about the makeup of our brain, the male's brain, or the way they think versus the way that we think as women. Now, I do agree that our makeup is different, our thinking process is different, the emotional part of us, of course, is different. But I'm not real sure that I just could not get my mind wrapped around that being the significant cause for the decreasing number of men attending church on Sunday. However, I do think when it comes to the way that we process things, the way that we hear our Sunday services, my belief on that is I think men a couple of things that I just take from that. I think men look at us. If they're not attending church with us on Sunday, I think they're looking for this change in us that they're not really getting or they're not seeing in some way become or could potentially become thrown off saying, why do I need to go? It's not helping you. And I'm not saying that that's true, but I think that sometimes men may look at us saying, well, you're going, but you're still doing this and you're still doing that and it's not helping. I also think that men could take from us going to church that we're putting the pastor first, not because we're going to church, but I think in some cases women may be in awe of their pastors and their husbands or their mates may think, well, you respect your pastor more, you look up to him more, or you think that he is much better than I am as a man, and so to speak. So I think we should be careful of that as well. And I'm throwing these things out, and I really want everybody's feedback on this, but these are just some of the things that I think could be the reason for the lack of men in church. Also, I think I spoke about the respect. I think men may think that, you know, the wife or the mate may respect or look up to that pastor more so than they do with them. Putting things that are going in the church before their family members, even sometimes their children. Again, I think when we get caught up in the pastor being this perfect, perfect man with this perfect life, and I think men may look at it with some realness about it, you know, knowing that with all that we hear in the public eye about pastors, being taking our money and things like that, these are things that you just hear out and what pastors are doing while they're preaching and so forth. So I'm sure you guys all can relate to hearing different stories around. So those are some of the things that I just kind of thought of as I was going through this process. And for those of you who have been listening for quite a while with us, you remember us talking about, and I'm not sure what show this was, Tika, you may remember, but it was the show that we talked about when you could have a spouses being in an argument, and for whatever reason a pastor would call. I actually heard this was a part of a sermon that was preached at church where it was talking about controlling your emotions, that we really do have more control than we say that we do, because this was an incident where if a husband and wife is arguing, you know, to the top of their lungs, and the pastor calls in, we'll just say either one chooses to answer the phone and instantly goes from the argument to this loving, kind voice because the pastor is on the phone. So they instantly, they're alone. The husband, if it's the wife that's answering, the husband could feel very disrespected because you just turned off your emotions and totally turned to this Christian woman, so to speak, with your tone and your voice and the things that you say. So I want to hear what you all have to say about that, or we want to hear that before we get off the air. Tika's going to come on and share some of the things, and I have a little bit more, but we're going to bring Tika on and then take your calls and your questions.
Okay. I'd like to first start off with that I found that a recent survey by the Ellison Research found that 31% of men never attend church, even on holidays. This sad statistic prompts parishioners and ministers alike to ask, where are our men? While it's true that several men spend their Sundays satisfying their vices for sports or whether it be sleep or other outings with friends, men who don't attend church usually have more substantial reasons for not attending. I've also found that this to be a discrepancy that's greatest in the African-American churches in the United States. I want to give a little breakdown of some of the reasons that I found, but first I believe this to be a result, some results, not in all areas, but I've seen in some areas that this to be something resulting from childhood, where the man would want the boy remembering church to be a place that he felt forced to attend. Now, as an adult, being able to choose not to take part in what seemed a place where his mom would attend, but daddy would stay home. This grew up to be a repeated cycle for him. I also believe that the involvement of a true Christian woman can greatly influence the return of the man in her life upon returning to church. It's when they witness unhealthy behavior, whether it be yelling, arguing, hypocritical behavior, unlike which that is portrayed at home from the women in the lives of the men. I believe this will cause them to refrain from wanting to attend church. So there's a strong need for true witnesses of the gospel in order to show the men the plan that was intended for church, because we are one. So without the attendance of men, there's an absence of balance within the church. I found through some research as well, seven reasons why men don't like to attend church. You know, I found this on blackandmarriedwithkids.com. And I'll slightly go through seven of the reasons. I won't elaborate heavily on what it said, but one of them really stood out to me, and I want to just really go more into detail on one of the reasons. But I'm going to give you the seven reasons. And one is, the number one reason is their fathers didn't attend church. And it says many men tend to give their sons the impression that church is not a place for real men by stereotyping the Christian men as passive and henpecked, qualities that no man desires. I found that it says that a man lackadaisical attitude towards church attendance can influence his children's perception of religion, and this behavior is especially destructive if a man has a son. It's difficult for the mother to convince her son that attending church is important if her husband invalidates her arguments by sleeping in late on Sundays and refusing not to attend. That was one reason that fathers don't attend church. Number two, they have to work. And through this research, it says as companies have downsized, layoffs lurk around every corner, and men feel compelled to work as much as they can provide some measure of security for their families. So neglecting their own spiritual growth is a small sacrifice for men who desire to keep their families out of dire straits. One guy, I'll just say his name is George, he's 63 and retired. He says that whenever work was needed, and it was needed on Sundays, that something that he had to give, unfortunately, was church. That's the number two reason, having to work. The number three was too many collections. And it says with rising employment and higher taxes and other financial woes, the last thing a person wants is to go to church if a pastor is with a pastor when they constantly see that there's a handout asking, with his handout asking for more than the fair share of income. Number four was services were too long and inflexible. There's an interview from a guy named Kenneth, and he says he loves to watch the football games and the kickoff until the final seconds ticks away. However, going to church usually spoils his plans, and by the time they're done with the announcement hymns and the long sermons, it's almost halftime. So David says he knows that going to church is important, but he likes his time on Sundays to relax and do what he desires to do. I'll briefly go over the last three, but I want to put emphasis on number five. Number five was they've lost faith in God or do not believe in God. Number seven was an insensitive pulpit. Was saying several men interviewing for this piece agreed that the church is unsympathetic to their plights. And since many men attend church to mend their battered egos, they get upset when the minister adds insult to injury by attacking them in the sermon. And one guy, Hart, he says he admits that men are usually victims of an insensitive pulpit, and he's spewed from unintended condemnations towards men. So they're now rebelling against the church by their way of doing that is by not showing up. And number seven is they find the church to be hypocritical. Their comment was in more behaviors such as sexual misconduct and embezzlement by ministers and church leaders were cited as reasons why men avoid going to church. Hart reveals that it was appalling by the backbiting and pettiness that he saw in his former church by the people who claimed to be Christians because they didn't act like Christians or what he felt a Christian was, and he felt that the exhibit of tenets of Christianity outside the church much better than many of those who would attend the church. And the one that I found that was most touching to me was number five. I wound up skipping that one, but they've lost their faith in God or do not believe in God. And it says that men who grew up in a firm religious foundation have an easier time coping with adversity, but a test of faith sometimes can be enough to send even the most faithful servant fleeing from the fold. And I just want to give kind of what was stated in this. It was very touching to me, so I wanted to put more emphasis on one of the reasons being that they've lost faith in church. I'll give the guy's first name, just saying that his name is Dwayne. For example, he was a model Christian. As a teenager, Monroe never missed a chance to worship the Lord. He attended Sunday school, Bible study, and was the pioneer of the church's youth ministry. But his faith was tested when his father grew ill with prostate cancer. Dwayne, whose mother died in a car accident, prayed daily for the Lord to heal his father, but to no avail. His father died when his son was 17, leaving the frightened child perilous. So feeling the Lord had forsaken him, he decided to sever all ties with the church and had not been back since. He said he was so faithful, but God took both of my parents from me and left me all alone. So how could a God I've been so faithful to leave me all alone? But he is only one of a swelling rank of men who refuse to accept the concept of the Almighty God. I've never seen any physical evidence of God's existence, says another member, whose name is James. He's a 37-year-old engineer. We're taught to be logical in all aspects of our lives, but when it comes to religion, we're supposed to throw our logic out of the window and rely solely upon faith. And he says, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. Besides, if there were really a God, do you think this world would be so screwed up? Now, I got also a comment from a Reverend James, who was a lecturer and author of this chronic, of this African-American history, culture, and involvement in the Christian church. He understands, states that he understands the dilemma, and his statement was, given the state of America, he can empathize with the men who refuse to believe that God would allow this country to become such a rancid place. But things can only get worse if our men stop believing and lose faith. He also stated all he can do is ask non-believers to come to church on Sundays with hopefully feeling that something will be said, or they will see something that will convince them that God is still alive and strongly working in their lives. So this is just some of the reasons that I got that were why several men stated their reasons for not wanting to attend church. And I'll turn the show back over to Tammy, because I have some more things I wanted to state on the reasons we're encouraged to attend church, but I know she wanted to add something as well as get some questions or maybe be able to answer some questions from callers. Okay, Tammy.
Okay. I heard a story from one of our repeat listeners, and I asked her to share it with us. So I see that she's out online, and I'm going to bring her through just to share that story here in a second. But some of the things that I know Tika mentioned, that the, you know, one of the reasons their father, maybe that their fathers did not attend too many collections. I think that the collection thing is truly one of the reasons, a huge reason, that some of the men don't attend church like they should. And I think some of them think that their wives or their mates are giving far too much. And that's another show on tithing for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that some men may think that, and I'm just going to say this because I'm sure a number of you have heard it, that they're being pimped out, so to speak. They think the preachers are just there for the money. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way that men see. They feel that they see straight through, basically, more than women. We tend to be more emotional. We want to hear an emotional message. And men are just kind of, they're more logical. You know, I saw a study that said they don't need they need less than a 90-minute sermon, so to speak. They don't need the long, drawn-out studies or pamphlets and things like that. They want you to get straight to the point, and they don't need the emotional side of it. So just wanted to reiterate on those things. And then the hypocritical part of it, mm-hmm. of the study where they think that Christians are cynical people, judgmental, and why do I need that? And again, some of them feel like I don't need to go to church to be acknowledged as a Christian. So we do have some people out. I challenge you again, if you have some comments, some questions, to go ahead and select the number one. Again, I want to bring Ms. Earlene into queue. Ms. Earlene, if you'll go ahead and select the number one, and I'll put you through. Ms. Earlene, do we have you on air with us?
Yes, can you hear me, Tammy?
Can hear you fine. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. All the things that you just mentioned about why men don't want to go to churches is probably a summation of this young man who gave a testimony. He and his wife gave their testimony at my church recently. And one of the things he said, all the things that were mentioned, he said he believed in God, he loved God, he didn't feel that he had to go to an establishment or a building to worship him, and that was just far from his mind. Went through high school, most of college years this way, but he met this young lady who he later married and had been married for a number of years. Now, he went to church because that's the only way that she would allow him to date her. And he was so infatuated with this young woman that he says, oh, well, if this is the way that I can get a chance to be with her Then I go to church. And not only just church on Sundays, but he went to church activities. And this was a church who did a number of things, of activities. And what happened is, as he came to church with her, with the activities with her, she began to pray because she felt that this was a relationship that would probably go a little bit further than just dating. And she began to pray that God would open his mind and his heart as he attended these services. And that's what happened. And as he would go to these different services, he, for some reason he didn't understand, he would begin to feel the idea, I want to know a little bit more. So he would question her, he would question other people, and he would have a desire in his heart to get closer to the Lord. And it was just, to me, now he is a minister. His wife sings, and he ministers. He does not have a church, but he is a minister for a number of years. You could just feel the closeness in his spirit that he felt to the Lord. But I was just saying that, and I mentioned this to Tammy, because sometimes we think as women, when our husbands or our significant others don't want to attend church, we give up. So sometimes we just, even though it may not be a situation like this, you don't give up. You, if you can get them to go to activities that even is even remotely connected with the church, and pray about that. I remember saying, and I'll say this very quickly, it being said to me that it's not our job to change our husbands, or I say our husbands because they're the closest, or the people that are the men that are closest to us. That's God's job. Our job is to bring them before the Lord, even if it's a matter of saying they're not interested as this man is, bring them before the Lord. It's God's job to change the heart, and he will change the heart. But this was just an example of her not giving up, and he deciding that he wanted to be a part of her life so badly that he would attend services with her just to be with her.
That's interesting, and he was not married at the time. They were just the only way that he would date.
They were dating. I mean, he wanted to date her, but she made it clear that the only way that he could do that was that he would have to attend her church services and activities with her. And he cared enough and wanted to get to know her enough that he just did that. But in the meantime, the most important part of this, that in the meantime, she prayed for him, and she prayed and asked God to open his heart. And that was not something that she, you know, sometimes we think we can do it, but that's God's job.
Oh, wow. That is his job, absolutely.
Thank you.
This is Tammy. I commend, hearing that story, I was really thinking that they were married at the time, and he decided to go. And I think some of us do it just the opposite. We allow whichever the men not to go with us. If we're a woman that is going, it's okay when we're dating if you don't go. But all of a sudden, when you become married, you know, now you have to go. And so I really commend both of them, her for standing her ground, saying, I want this is what I want in my relationship. I want someone that I can attend church with, that goes with me. And him, you know, his decision to do that, you know, some men won't do that when they're married. Some of them will do it, you know, while they're dating and not go when they're married. And then on the flip side of that, some women will say, okay, it's okay now, but once we get married, I expect you to do it. So,
so
a commendable story in my eyes. Anything else, Ms. Earling?
No, I think that's all. I just, you know, even if the women were, they were not married. They've since been, I think they were married 40-some years, you know, presently. But even if it is your husband, you know, and sometimes, like I said before, we take on that responsibility of feeling that we have to be the ones to make them go. And if they don't go, it interferes with our relationship. And I just kind of feel that sometimes that it gets to a point where you have to make that decision about that. But even to the sometimes when you go, if you come back home in an attitude of just sharing, I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Bible. I just want to share with you what the Lord is doing in my life. Sometimes that makes a difference too.
Right.
And again, God
right.
has
and
to
I think
rest.
To share that is through our walk. You know, a lot. I think I mentioned that with a lot of us, we go alone without our mate, and then we're this way at church, and no sooner than we hit the ground running, we convert going back, you know, to our homes or in our relationships.
unchanged, so to speak. And so I think a lot of men may look at that as well and saying, well, you know, again, why do I need to go? What is it doing for you besides, you know, breaking you, so to speak, because of all the collections and things like that, and they and the men being so logic in their thinking, whereas we're more emotional, of course. So truly agree. Speaker, do you have anything for Ms. Erling?
No, that was actually amazing that was something that turned him around. That was just a pretty awesome story. You know, that was just something uplifting for people, and to be able to hear that even without that being his intention, you know, that was something that truly was an experience for him that created his walk, created him, and allowed him to have a different walk from that point forward. Just
it's
desiring,
true.
You know, to have a relationship with this girl. So that was a pretty amazing story, very touching story.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing it, Ms. Erling.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to address, and again, if anyone has any comment or question, we do have the line open, so you are able to just, again, select the number 1 if you are wanting to ask a question or make a comment on the discussion or the topic tonight. One of the things that I also wanted to talk about is there's a study that breaks down a bit more about men being the age of 35 or younger being almost non-existent in the church today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's regardless of Sunday service, again, Wednesday service, or Tuesday night Bible study, whichever you have in your particular church or your area. But it talks about the age of 35 and younger being almost non-existent. However, it does talk a little bit more about if that person or that male that's going to church is at the age of 35 and younger, what they're looking for, and I found some of these to be very, very interesting, but what they're looking for, what they're geared towards, is for, if they're making the decision to go, is a large church, a large congregation. Headed by a male pastor who is bold and very outspoken. And this is one that stood out to me, non-denominational. And I kind of took this back to our topic last week when you mentioned non-denominational. I think the men are looking for, again, less rules, less finger-pointing, taking the legalism out of the religion part of it and just really teaching how to have a relationship with God. And then it also goes to talk about a contemporary worship style, that they're looking for a more contemporary way to worship when they're at church. Conservative theology. And this one I didn't really get a full understanding of, so I'd like for anybody who has any more on this, risk-taking culture. So that they're looking for a church that is a risk-taking culture, offers intentional male discipleship. And I think that's just being geared toward, I think a lot of men think that everything, church is for women and all the programs are for the women and there's not a lot for the male to do or not a lot for the male to offer to the congregation or to the other members. And then worship, we mentioned this earlier, worship services less than 90 minutes, meaning that they're wanting you to just cut through all of the emotional part of the sermon and give it to us straight. And again, that's not for every man, but that's just this particular article was talking about the male 35 and younger. But of course, some of our men that are older than 35 could want some of those same things. So that was one of the things, or a couple of things that is mentioned about getting more men involved. And it even talked about, you know, having males who are teaching kids, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful idea, teaching our young men. It's so many young men that don't know how to tie a tie. They're in college or out of college or going on a job interview. You'd be amazed at the number of males that do not know how to change oil on a car because they've not been taught. So there's programs that churches are starting to where men can offer things like that. And I think that is a good idea and a good way to maybe get the men more involved because certainly while you're teaching a young boy to do those things, you can have dialogue, you have conversation, you know, you can talk to them about their life, which gets the younger males pulled in a little bit more and some interaction going there. So just a little bit more on what we can do, if anything, to get more men in church on Sundays, and I think even more so on those weeknight services where you're having Bible study and prayer. So, again, we have no callers that have questions or comments. So, again, if you do have those, you need to select the number one so that we know that you do have a question or a comment. Tika, do you have anything?
Well, I just wanted to mention something on the last one, the last comment I had. Not the last comment, but one of the last reasons I had for men not attending churches, just where they feel like they're victims of an insensitive pulpit. It's just pretty amazing to me. One of the reasons that they feel that this is their way of acting out or rebelling towards a more authoritative figure. And it says, just when the men were admitting that they feel victims of this, and it says, men find it, whereas in their normal workplaces or other places throughout their lives, they find it difficult to rebel against employers or other authority figures in their lives without negative consequences. An insurgence against the church is easier because the consequences are not so immediate. Sorry. So by not attending church, men feel more powerful and in control because they're finally able to challenge authority in their own minds, get away with it. So usually all a man wants to hear is that he's doing a good job. So this person's comment was that the church needs to be more sensitive to the fact that men want to be told what they're doing good and not everything that they're doing wrong, just having a more constructive way to go about aiding them in the things that they need to do versus them being destructively, they feel that they're being destructively attacked through the congregation and through the church and through the pulpit. I have some reasons why, because a lot of, I tend to hear from, you know, a lot of people, but the majority of men on, you know, hearing a lot of, why do I need to attend church? Church is in me, or I have church, or I can look at it on TV, or why do I need to go and be around a bunch of people who pretend to know Christ? Or, you know, people have all types of reasons of why, well, men, I tend to hear a lot of reasons of why they don't want to, you know, attend church based on their own experiences. And for some, it's not even their experiences, but it's what they've been told and it's what they've heard. And so there are so many untrue images. There's so many untrue images in the church, but people must realize that their commitment should be to Christ rather than the people who compromise the church. And people usually often believe that Christians are supposed to be perfect when, in fact, we're not. We're humans, and church is if you could put it in mind as it being a hospital, and there's a lot of sickness there, but there's a lot of healing going on as well. So I think if it's the churches that they may attend or churches that, you know, are not, you know, have strong roots in Christ and may not be biblically based, that may be the reason that they're deterred from church and not having a reason to want to go back. But I do believe that I see a larger involvement with men in the non-denominational churches. I've seen this with my own eyes as well as I've been able to see this, get the same feedback from other people who attend churches who are non-denominational as well. So I'm not sure what you wanted to add, Tammy, but just, you know, there is a reason we should attend churches, not just for, I don't know what people, what different reasons they have for not wanting to attend church, but then the reason that they feel that it makes no big deal whether I attend it or not is really a choice up to me, and it really doesn't matter where I go, but there is a consequence to that as well. And if it's something that you don't understand, or you can't simply understand why you need to attend or the need to attend, there's a need to know. There's a need to know the purpose and God's purpose in us attending church. And so the Bible, first of all, the Bible tells us to meet together as believers and to encourage one another. And that's right in Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, Tammy, I don't know if part of the show was elaborating on the need for church attendance and why it is something that God, it is something that God has planned for us to do?
Well, I think people may take that, some may take that saying that, you know, they can come together and it doesn't have to be, some people look at it, and for me, that we are the church. So if we're coming together and it's not in a so-called building where this pastor or this neighbor or this friend calls it church, some men and women or just people in general may think this, according to the word, I am doing that. So my take on that is,
I don't think it has to be a church building at all. I feel it can be where two or more gather, definitely.
Right. And so what I'm saying from that is, just didn't want to make people misunderstand what we were saying, is that because again, I think we started the show saying some people will say, if you don't go to church, then you're not a Christian. They're saying, if you don't go like they go on the day that they, some people even get to the point, if you don't go to church, if you don't go on Sunday, you know, then you're not a Christian. And yes, getting back to the legalism religion part of it, but again, I think a lot of men feel like, and women and people in general, again, just that I do gather, I do get this, and that's why I think Ms. Earling's comment or talked a little bit about this, meaning wherever, as long as you're getting your word, so to speak, and you're growing in Christ, and as women, if we are going to church and leaving our significant others behind, allow them to see our walk, allow them to hear it, you know, in our talk. Be the person that we are in church. Be that person at home. And I think that's the best way, one of the best ways to get men more involved in going to church. And again, the story that she shared, of course, I think is wonderful because, number one, the lady is saying, this is what I need from my relationship. This is what I need. And he's saying, okay, I'm willing to meet you because I want a future with you. And where, again, so many women and men, they do it differently. They want to wait and change everything after they've said, I do. So I agree with you. I think church is needed, and that's whatever form of church or gathering, whatever your gathering is, whatever you call church for you, whether it be meeting at Dunkin' Donuts to talk about, you know, God and what's going on spiritually, then that's okay if that works for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a building where you come together in a formatted, I guess, program, so to speak. So
it doesn't have to be, I don't believe it has to be a formatted program. I do believe that it is where God wants us to come together, not just you know, sitting at home and doing your own thing. There's a purpose. What God has placed into the body of Christ for our own protection and blessing. So just like every earthly family, it's not always fun, and they're going to be difficult and unlovely moments as we grow together as a family. But there are also blessings that we'll never experience unless we become relational and connected with and in a body of Christ. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a church building with thousands of members. It could be a home where several people come together as one, where it's Christ-centered and biblically based and biblically balanced in telling the truth of Christ. So it can be in that type of setting as well without the rules and regulations that you have to go by. But it's coming together in the name of Christ and to teach who it is that, who God is and why his son died for us, and just to learn our purpose here on earth. And it's not something that we do all alone, because God is one and he has created us all to become one and to all be one, because we're one with the church. The church is, it could be several individuals joined together, but where two or more joined in his name. So there's power and blessings being joined together through the body of Christ.
Okay. We have a caller. We have a caller from the 951 area code. And it's 951-0281 is the last four. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Am I talking right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Who do we have online with us?
This is Gene.
Gene, hi, Gene. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
My wife sat up here and got me to call in. That's the only reason why she said.
Oh, wow. Hey, Gene.
I didn't used to even go to church because when we lived in California, church was fake as hell. Oh, I'm sorry. It was fake, so I didn't like going to church. And then when we came out to, now we live in Texas. So now Texas, people actually go to church and it's real. Church out here, people actually really feel God, so it's totally different. That's all I got to say.
Well, we attend a non-denominational church.
You attend a non-denominational church?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But his background is coming from Catholic as well, so he had a lot of struggles to go through to get to where he is now.
What do you mean, I have a struggle?
We don't know.
What are some of the...
I didn't have no struggles.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just do a lot of reading to come to church. I prefer to just stare at the Bible than to sit up here with somebody. Especially, I don't like Baptist church, so I won't have somebody yelling the sermon at me. I just want to be able to just read it, understand it for myself. I don't need nobody to sit there and teach it to me as I guess what you get out of Baptist. I don't get much out of Baptist church at all. So I really didn't care for that. So.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Just that, just hearing, you know, just some of what I've learned through my own attending of non-denominational churches, that I see more men attending there, and I see the growth in the men's attendance increasing versus in some of the other traditional religious settings of other churches where those areas may be declining. So I think there's a difference in the way that they present the word and the amount of time that the service is held of, and as well as the amount of offerings that's taken up in the churches.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carla, for your comment. We have a few more that have come in queue, and we're going to go ahead and take those. But thanks again for calling. I think you're a first-time listener and caller.
Thanks for listening, you
Thank
all.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, we have a caller from 615 area code, and the last four is 5479. Caller, you're on air with
How
us. 615, the last four is 5479.
This is Brian. How you doing, Shatika and Tammy?
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Doing great. I love this message tonight, this topic. I got a couple of points to make on that as far as why men don't attend church in the same number as women. Number one, just like the brother that just called, most men don't believe in other men to control their whole destiny, whether they're going to heaven or hell. A lot of men read the word at home, but I do believe in fellowshipping. So I may attend church maybe once or twice a month just to fellowship, but as far as, you know, a lot of people go to church and basically hear the inspirational message of the hooping and hollering and basically go back to doing the same exact thing they were doing prior to the week. The most important thing to me is getting those principles and actually living by them. So I actually don't put as much faith in the in the pastor as most of the women do. That's because they have that emotional connection. So I think men, as far as being more rational, we just don't put that much faith in the pastor to control our destiny. We rather do that ourselves, being leaders ourselves. You have authority in your own home, so you should know that word frontwards and backwards, and not actually just, you know, rely on someone else to hand feed it to you. But I do believe in heavenly fellowshipping. Second point, a lot of times in church, the message is a little watered down, meaning it doesn't really address the real hardships of life. So a lot of people that come, they get turned off because everyone's putting on this fake face like everything is great. Everyone's smiling, got on their best church wear. But in actuality, we know real things are going on and they're not really being addressed. So a lot of people are told they'll kind of nod their head and try to smile with everyone else, but it's a turnoff. That's the
it's not showing them how to apply. It's not where they're not. They don't feel
right.
They're being shown how to apply the word to today's living.
It's all like theoretical. It's nothing about application. That's really, if you teach
okay.
these principles, they apply to each area of your life if you teach them the correct way. We're losing
right.
not only men, but a lot of teenagers. Teens are completely turned off. Teenagers
mm-hmm.
aren't going to church either. You know, like an example would be, you know, Mary, Mary. They're making songs that teens will listen to, but church folk are in a church arguing over whether it's real gospel or not. I mean, this is blanging people in that you're obviously losing. It depends
right.
on overall message. My third point, you know, this is I have this point I would make before I actually joined church about 7-8 years ago. I was on the line, and I was saying, you know what, I'm really not into that because all of the guys that represented church to me looked really soft. They was, you know,
mm-hmm.
even some of the Christian rappers and singers, they still look soft to me. So being a man, if you're not a real man, I don't respect what you're saying regardless of the fact if I don't respect you as a person. So it was all until I met some real brothers that were, you know, strong, intelligent, and full of faith that I was like, you know what, I can come over to this and this is all right. Because if I was in a war, these brothers could be on my side. And at the same time, if I was having a war in my life spiritually, they could help me out as well. But a lot of times, you know, you see these guys with the, you know, the X curl and, they're, you know, just smiling and laughing like everything is, I really don't like that a lot. And even in my church choir that I attend, I mean, the church is full of homosexuals. I don't know why that's the case, but that's the case in a lot of churches. I'm not sure why. It's just the men that are there are watered down. I don't see a lot of real men there. So that's just a lot of
mm-hmm.
points. I mean, that's a little generalization, but a lot of times if you're watching, even if you're watching it on TV, you see the same thing. So they really need to show that real man that has that strong faith and is able to lead, because I don't actually go by a pastor or a man. Like when Eddie Long messed up, everyone basically left. They turned their back on their face because this man messed up. That's ridiculous. Like you will never be able to move from point A to B in your life if you don't have faith, if you can't visualize it first, if you don't have a purpose. So anyone
right.
that's saying that they don't believe in God or religion, that's ridiculous. That's ignorance. Now, you
right.
may not believe in a man because he's a man just like you, but you better believe in that word. It's real. You know,
right.
unless you want to be stagnant and stuff.
Brian, hold
are.
It. Brian, we're going to keep you in queue, and I want to bring two other calls. We have two others that came in a few minutes ago. So hold. We're going to keep you in queue, though, so hold that. We want to address some of the things that you brought up, okay?
Sure.
Okay, we have a caller from the 901 area code. 7899 is the last four digits. Caller, you're on air with us. Would you tell us your name, please?
My name is William.
William?
Yes.
You're on air with us. Do you have a question or a comment?
My comment is as far as why men don't go to church. I used to not go to church for years, even though I was brought up in the church. And number one is we are not brought up to believe in God. We are brought up, men are brought up to believe in the material of the world. At a certain age, you get out, you work, you earn your money, and you come home. Why should we believe in a spirit that we can't see or touch? Why should we believe in a spirit that lets the world be in the condition it's in? Now, I'm not saying I'm like that, because I do believe in God. I believe in the spirit of life. But as far as a lot of men, we don't see God as being a help to us. If we don't get off of our behinds and work or hustle or get money, it's not going to fall from heaven. So why should we waste our Sundays or our Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. going to church when we could be out working? I mean, to me, that's
okay.
the bottom line. It's just we don't see any reason to believe in the spirit. We see the world as You a man, go out and get what you want to get. You want a woman, you go out and get it. You want a job, you go out and get it. You want a Cadillac or a Lexus or Infiniti, you go out and get it. You want a house,
not,
you go out and get it.
We're not depending, or men are not really depending on God. They feel that they should go get these things themselves.
Yeah, that's how we're brought up. We are brought up to have material things. And we don't feel like, I feel when you get older, you get closer to God because you see your own mortality. But when you're young, all you can see is, hey, I got to get out there and get it. God ain't going to just, I wake up and there's a check in the mail for $10,000. How can God, why should I waste my time when I can sit at home that Sunday and rest because I worked hard 5 days a week? And maybe on Saturday, why should I get up and get dressed and get shaved and go to church?
Let me interrupt you for just a second, and we want to be able to address that, and I'm going to bring another call in because we have just a few minutes left, and we want to get this caller in and then address all of those questions. Just a second. We have a caller, 267 last 4-3404.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good. Who do we have online with us? We have just a few minutes left, please.
Yeah, this is Larry. I'm calling from Philadelphia. I'm looking at the question, and I'm trying to understand the question itself. It says, why can't I get him to go to church? Mm-hmm. Yeah, why can't,
okay.
You know, why can't you get, you know, like, I have a problem with my current girlfriend, and it seems like for a couple of days, like, she's trying to get me to go to church. And it's the fact that, I guess it's like my upbringing of, like, the way I was raised, the way I mad at myself, I'm like, why do I have to go to church?
I have a problem with my current girlfriend.
Hello?
Okay, we lost that caller. If anybody want to comment on either question or comments that we've had from Brian and I think William?
Do
you have anything?
Uh-huh. Well, with the one caller, saying with the things he didn't learn as a child, and since he didn't learn those things as a child, now he's an adult, now he doesn't see a reason or a need. I believe a lot of us don't even realize that we are created in God's image, and he is our creator. We're on this earth because of God. And so if you're never taught that as an adult, it doesn't mean that it's not true once you become an adult. It just means that you don't want to take the time to learn it. But 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 says you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So as one, we all continue to make up the body of Christ. Just because you decide to exclude yourself from it, it doesn't mean that you are no longer the body of Christ. In this body, we have several parts. We have our hands, we have our feet, we have our eyes, we have our ears, we have our mouth, we have our nose. But together, all of these make one whole body.
We have 1 minute left, so you can go ahead and sum it up if you like.
Okay, I just briefly like to say the unity in the body of Christ does not mean total conformity or uniformity. Although maintaining unity in the body is very important, it's also vital to value the unique qualities that makes each of us an individual part of the body. Both aspects of unity and individuality deserve emphasis and appreciation. So this makes for a healthy church body when we remember that Christ is our common denominator, and it's Christ who makes us one.
And I'd like to just sum it up saying, if you're not in a church, find a church, a place, a group of people that can feed you and you help feed them. Doesn't matter if it's a building with, again, find somewhere to worship and have people that support you in your life, where you are in your life. So thanks to everyone for your call. And continue to keep listening, and we appreciate every comment, every question. Thanks again. Be blessed.